I'm Esteban, not at Harvard anymore, and coming from Chile this time. I'm back in my home country. I'm at Universidad Católica in the sociology department. And today I'm going to be speaking about the causal effects of the timing of the retirement transition on subjective well-being using an instrumental variable approach. And my co-authors are Chris Tamburini and Natalia Sarkeesian. Natalia from Boston College and Chris from the Social Security Administration. Have no relationships to disclose. Now, studying the effects of the timing of retirement on subjective well-being is a very important topic now that aging societies are encouraging older workers to stay longer in the workforce. Now, proponents of longer working lives argue that on one side, retirement resources are decreasing, and this cartoon summarizes my point in a funny way. If you cannot see from the back, the man is saying, well, my pension has been renegotiated, and in lieu of a monthly check, I'll receive a crate full of seasonal fruit. So basically, Social Security checks are crunching, individual retirement accounts are providing little benefits, especially now that we're in a financial crisis, and individuals have little savings. So on one side, proponents of longer working lives argue that retirement resources are decreasing, and on the other side, they argue that retirement periods are increasing. And this is a very rough calculation. I basically subtracted the average retirement age from the average mortality age for individuals age 65. So it gives you a rough sense of how many years people spend in retirement. And you can see here that in 1950, people would spend about 8 years in retirement. While today, this number goes up to almost 20 years. So retirement periods are increasing a lot. Now, if you combine the retirement income crunch with the increase in life expectancy these increases are basically driven by increases in life expectancy because the age of retirement has remained relatively stable over these years. So if you combine the retirement income crunch with increase in life expectancy, then working longer or retiring later appears as an attractive option, but it's very controversial for many reasons. So this became a hot policy issue, and a lot of people is interested in understanding, well, what are the consequences of retiring later, or what are the consequences of the timing of retirement? Most of the studies use financial indicators to assess the consequences of the timing of retirement. And this makes sense, you know, because retirement policy aims to secure retirement income. Now, in this study, I'm gonna argue that retirement policy also aims to improve subjective well-being, or at least not to decrease it. And I'm saying at least not to decrease it because when I say, well, retirement policy aims to improve subjective well-being, a lot of people, well, they sort of disagree, you know? They say, well, retirement policy has nothing to do with subjective well-being. But if I tell them, well, what if retirement policy is creating anxiety, making people unhappy and healthy, and then they are like, okay, maybe we should do something about it. So that's my idea. There is a lot of literature on the effects of the timing of retirement on subjective well-being, and a lot of evidence. This is not the first study. Actually, the first study was done in the 40s. Now, unfortunately, these studies tells us very different stories. So if we look at the different theories about when to retire, we have one theory that emphasizes a psychosocial materialist explanation that argues that it's better to retire later because they see work as a source of identity and resources. So this is a functional relationship. Basically, a later timing of retirement is associated with a higher subjective well-being. In contrast, the psychosocial environmental approach characterizes work as something negative, as a source of stress and risks. Therefore, the sooner you retire, the better. Yet, we have a third group of scholars argue that it doesn't really matter, you know, you can retire at any time because they emphasize the roles of genes and personality in the adjustment to new situations. So we have a flat relationship where the timing of retirement doesn't make any impact on subjective well-being. Finally, we have a cultural institutional explanation that argues that we should retire on time at a specific moment. And this is basically, the mechanism is that we have cultural norms and institutional policies that create some age expectations about when to retire. So if you deviate from these expectations, it should result in lower subjective well-being. And this is the functional shape of the relationship. Now, the problem with all these studies is that most of them do not adjust for endogeneity issues. Actually, subjective well-being may cause the timing of retirement and not the other way around. And there are a few that do adjust for endogeneity, but they don't consider this non-linearity that we see here in this last theory. So what I'm doing is basically taking everything that has been done, putting it together, and addressing these two biases at the same time, endogeneity and non-linearity. And for this, I'm using data from the Health and Retirement Study, following 19,760 individuals from 1992 to 2008, every 2 years. 5,395 individuals retire during this period. And what I'm doing is I'm measuring their subjective health, measured as excellent to good health as opposed to fair to bad health, and the euthymic mood, measured as no depressive symptoms. And what I'm trying to estimate is the effect of the timing of retirement on subjective well-being. But as I said before, the main challenge here is that subjective well-being may impact the timing of retirement as well. So to get rid of this arrow in an ideal situation, I would randomize people to retire at different moments, right? Right now, the timing of retirement is not random. If people have a depressive episode, they may retire sooner, for example. Now, ideally, we will randomize people and therefore get rid of that red arrow. We can't do that, but fortunately, there are some natural experiments or socially induced experiments in the US that allow us to do something of the sort, a quasi-experiment. So I'm using two instrumental variables here, which are the offer of early retirement windows and the increase in the full retirement age. Both variables are, the offer of early retirement windows is legally required to be unrelated to the health of the workers. And you may argue that employers try to offer these packages to the unhealthy employees. But they have little discretionary power because they usually, first of all, offer these packages to whole divisions or departments, not to specific individuals. And then whenever they have tried to target these offers to specific individuals, they have been sued back and the employees have won all the legal cases. So more or less, I can say that the offer of early retirement windows introduces a variation in the timing of retirement that is exogenous to subjective well-being. People tend to retire earlier if they receive an early retirement window offer, and that offer is not connected to their levels of subjective well-being. Second, there has been an increase in the full retirement age. And the combination of these two variables is great because the early retirement windows offer introduce exogenous variation in the timing of retirement, but lower end of the distribution of that variable. Now, the increase in the full retirement age introduces variation at the higher end of the distribution. So what I'm showing here in this graph is the age distribution of retirement by year of birth. So different lines indicate different years of birth. Here we have men, here we have women, and we have the distribution of the timing of retirement. And we can see in this graph that most people, after the increases in the full retirement age, continue to retire at age 62, which is the early age of retirement in the US, at which you can receive only partial benefits. But those who were waiting to receive full benefits tended to stay a little longer. So this variable is introducing variation in the timing of retirement at the higher end of the distribution. So I'm using both variables to predict the timing of retirement, instrument the timing of retirement, and then to understand the causal effects of the timing of retirement on subjective well-being. And these are my results. Retiring either too early or too late can be detrimental to subjective well-being. What you're seeing here is this is the timing of retirement. I'm showing these as the age at which people retire. And in the vertical axis, you see the predicted probability of reporting two subjective well-being indicators. With a straight line, you see the probability of reporting excellent to good health. And with a dashed line, you see the probability of reporting no depressive symptoms. And what I'm seeing here, and what I found basically, is that retiring at or around age 62 is the optimal in terms of predicted probability for subjective well-being. That is, people maximize their subjective well-being outcomes when they retire at this age. And what is interesting about this is that age 62 is not any age. It's an age that has a cultural meaning, because as we saw in the previous slide, that's the age at which most Americans retire. So if you deviate from that age, you're retiring basically not with your friends, not with your cohort. And it's also an institutional age, because it's the age at which the Social Security Administration provides you early benefits. So these results basically take care of the endogeneity and the nonlinearity biases in previous research and provide support to the cultural institutional explanation of retirement. Specifically, what I found in a nutshell is that retirements that happen during institutionally and culturally expected periods of time have more beneficial effects on subjective well-being. The age which I found that people maximize their retirement well-being, as I said, their subjective well-being, as I said before, is age 62. Now, I forgot to mention something. It's not age 62 precisely. There is a piece in this curve where you can move up or down, and the marginal effect is not significant. So these vertical lines are showing you that there is some range of variation, but it's clear that there is something specific about that age, and what's really interesting about this finding is that we don't know what's gonna happen if we continue raising the early retirement age, for example, because this is clearly influenced by institutional policies, but there is also something related to cultural norms, so it's really interesting to include other cohorts in this study and see how do they adjust to these new changes, whether institutional policies change faster than cultural and norms and so on, and therefore what happens to the subjective well-being of future cohorts. Thank you very much.